Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to There's a You in Success. I'm Debbie Loosberg, your host. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're a first-time caller, welcome. Those of you that are familiar with our weekly There's a You in Success program know that it's all about you, you and your success, defining it and heading toward it while making little adjustments along the way. You know, they say success is a journey, and you get to decide what that means to you and where you'll go with your life. You want to be more successful? Change your thoughts about it. For a long-term, steadfast success, it all begins inside. It begins with our thinking, being aware of our thoughts, the choices we make, and then the actions we take. Today is another episode of a new feature here on There's a You in Success called Success Journeys, where I interview someone who's an example of all of these success traits that I discuss on the show and who is helping others be successful in their lives too. I'm very excited about my guest today. She's a great friend of mine and someone who I admire so much for her authenticity, her self-awareness, and her commitment to her profession and the people she serves. Let me tell you a little bit about my friend, Reverend Sharon Wiley. Sharon is an ordained Unitarian Universalist minister. She came to ministry as a second career after working for 10 years at her family's construction company, where she worked as an administrative assistant, an estimator, and then ultimately a construction project manager. She left construction in 2008 to begin her seminary studies, and she's just completed her third year as the called and settled minister of Chalice Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Escondido, California. Sharon is a native San Diegan and lives with her husband and three cats in the Scripps Ranch area of San Diego. Sharon, thank you for joining me and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Debbie. I'm happy to be here.
Great. I am so glad to have you and hear your take and your perspective on what success means not only to you, but how you have made that journey and what you recommend to people that you work with and what you'll recommend to people listening to our show today. So let me just take you through some of our questions and let us learn a little bit about you and your journey to success. So let's start out by telling me about your organization. Tell us about a little bit about Chalice and the environment that you work in there.
Sure. Well, Unitarian Universalism isn't a faith tradition lots of people have heard of, but it dates back to the early 1800s here in the United States. My congregation was founded in the year 2000, so we're still pretty new in church years. There's five congregations in San Diego County, and we're one of the newer ones. I have about 200 congregants at Chalice. We see ourselves as a beacon of liberal religious values in North San Diego County. We affirm and promote religious freedom, social justice, and radical inclusivity. So it's a dream come true for me to have my work be so grounded in my values. Can feel like night and day, my career now versus before, and the work environment in particular, my daily work is very unscheduled. I have a lot of unscheduled time. It's not an 8-to-5 job at all. It can feel like I'm working all of the time, and the work is also so joyful, it can feel like I'm hardly working at all. Weekends are my busy time now, not Monday through Friday. And it's an organization really, you know, we're really grounded in values and our religious community. And, you know, we're not it's working for a nonprofit, whereas previously I was, you know, working for a privately owned profit-driven company. It's very different what I do now.
Yeah, what a transition. And I know from knowing you and us having discussions about this, what a transition it is from going from an 8-to-5 Monday through Friday schedule to what you have now, which is much more, like you said, less structured and kind of on call in a way too. And plus Sundays are a normal work day for you. So what a change, what a transition.
Yep.
How do you define success? What does success mean to you when you think of that word and yourself?
Well, I take this question really seriously. because I'm someone that, you know, my congregants might look to me to help them define success. And, you know, I work with so many different people doing so many different things and dealing with different life challenges. So I wanted a definition that would work for a lot of different people and a lot of different life situations. So to me, success has three different components. The first is to be self-aware, to understand our own strengths, weaknesses, thoughts, and particularly our motivations and our emotions. It's so easy to go through life not really understanding what's driving us. So self-awareness, I think, is really important. To conduct ourselves with integrity, you know, to live lives that, you know, where we're conducting ourselves with honesty, with wholeness, we're being truthful with the people in our lives. So, to live with integrity, and then to contribute to making the world a better place. And that doesn't necessarily have to be through our work. Some of us are really lucky to have work that's directly helping make the world a better place. But for other folks, that may need to be volunteer work. You know, we all need to pay the bills, and it's a privilege to be able to do work that's meaningful. But it doesn't have to be. We don't have to let that limit us or keep us from achieving what we need to do. So I think all three of those things need to be in place to feel successful.
I love that. Thank you for breaking it down like that. And you said something really important there that I think bears repeating, and that is how fortunate a person is to be able to work in a job where they're able to, you know, bring all three of those things together and feel like they're making a contribution. And like you described, your work is so joyful, sometimes you don't even call it work. That is such a treasure to have that. So then we have maybe someone who's not happy in their job, but using these three things that you just described, that self-awareness, the integrity, and feeling like they're making a contribution, they can still feel successful that way, even if they're not in that ideal work situation yet. So I appreciate that definition very much.
So, yeah, I think back to, you didn't mention, Debbie, but you and I started out years and years ago working retail together. And that wasn't a place where I felt, you know, it wasn't harmful work and working, but it didn't feel like making the world a better place. And I would have been happier back then. This was, you know, decades ago now, but it would have been good for me to have the balance of volunteering somewhere and having something else meaningful going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a very good example. Yeah, we were in a rather interesting, different sort of environment there, and having that balance is so important. And so I would like to advise any of our listeners that feel like they're in a job like that, that there are other things you can do to balance it out and aim for something that makes you feel more self-aware, taking a class that helps you feel like you're living true to your values or contributing by volunteering as well. That's a very important piece there. So tell us a little bit about your road to success. We talk about retail and construction. Talk a little bit more about that. How did you get where you are today?
Yeah, you know, I really do look back and see it both as a maturing that just came with age. I started in retail in my early 20s. Now I'm in my 40s. But as I became more emotionally mature and just became aware of my own strengths and weaknesses, you know, my career trajectory follows that personal growth. In increasing skills, increasing responsibilities as I moved up, and as you mentioned at the start, that I started as an administrative assistant in construction, and 10 years later was managing a $5 million construction project. So a lot of skills growth happened in that time, but also just my awareness of what I needed and wanted to be happy and what I felt my gifts were. And when I first thought of being a minister, it felt like such a big dream. I might as well have been dreaming of being an astronaut or a baseball player. It seemed so much bigger than who I thought I could be. But by then I had enough experience to at least hope or see the glimmer of, like, maybe it could work out. And so it was a big leap for me just because it seemed so impossible. Mm-hmm. But it became possible. So and then, you know, preparing to be a minister is all about cultivating our self-awareness. And mm-hmm. you become the instrument of, you know, providing care and companioning people and, you know, reflecting with people. And so being really self-aware, having good self-care practices, all of those things are so important to ministry.
Yeah. And, you know, I look back on those days too, Sharon, because we've known each other for so long that I remember when you made that decision. I remember actually where we were at dinner that night when you were talking about it.
I do too.
And I just, as I watched you, because we, of course, stayed in touch over time, I just watched you make it a step-by-step process, one thing after the other. And I think even before you made that decision, I know you were working on your self-awareness because you were reading books and devoting yourself to self-improvement. And so that's another message I'd like to get out there to anyone listening, is that it is a step-by-step process, isn't it? It's just incremental. And like you said, it's kind of, you follow the path and you see how it opens up. So, yeah, what a great story coming from retail to the different positions within construction and then into ministry. I love that story.
Yeah, absolutely. I also want to say about the steps, you know, when you decide to change careers, this is true for anyone, you have no idea if it's going to work out. I entered the ministry never knowing if I was actually going to become a minister. That wasn't entirely my control. You go before panels for interviews and you get you need external approval. And even once you become a minister, you aren't guaranteed a job. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just like getting a new degree, hoping to change careers. You hope it will work out, but you live with mm-hmm. a lot of uncertainty along the way. So, yeah, taking it step by step and just staying focused on where you are now and what the next step is really important to making such a big shift.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's quite a process, and it was my pleasure, my treat to watch you along the way on that journey. So in addition to what you learned or what you about this success journey you've been on, this transition, anything else that you learn that really stands out either about yourself or when you're helping other people? Any other lessons? If you were to make a transition again, what would you do that you've learned about that process?
Well, I think each of us has special gifts to share, and it can be really hard to discern that. And even now, I achieved this goal. I became a minister. But then there's still discernment about, well, what is my ministry? You know, what are my special gifts as a minister? Not all ministers are the same. So I would say, we're never done in our discernment and our self-awareness. And mm-hmm. our work is to always, you know, focus. And it can become just as important, the things we say no to, continuously say no to the things that don't call to us in order to say yes. And to leave the door open for the things that keep us joyful. And that's true even once you've made the shift. So I would say that to anyone. Say, you know, you have to continue to say no. So many mm-hmm. things pull at us, and stay focused on your special gifts, what you have to offer. And then also just to slow down and have fun and do less. For those of us who are focused and ambitious, whatever the word is, and when work is very joyful, it can feel easy to keep doing more and more. So to remember that that balance is so important, and having time for friendships, time to go to the movies, time to read a novel. So again, we have to say no in order mm-hmm. to say yes to fun and time at the beach, and those things are important too. And that's still learning and growth for me to make space for downtime.
Yeah, That's wise sage advice there. That's perfect, because we forget that taking care of ourselves is just as important as the work that we do in the world. So thanks for that reminder. I love that. Saying no just in order to say yes to other things that matter to help us stay focused. You know, I'm going to pause right here, and I'm going to let folks know that might have joined a little bit late that I am interviewing today Reverend Sharon Wiley. She is the minister at Chalice Unitarian Universalist Church in Escondido, and she is sharing information about her journey toward success, her own journey, and then we're going to get here shortly to what she advises to other people. She's giving us much wisdom and much insight today in her own journey and things that we can apply as well. If you'd like to reach out and contact Reverend Reverend Sharon, here is her information. It's revsharonwiley@gmail.com is her email. That's revsharonwiley, W-Y-L-I-E, @gmail.com. And again, she's at Chalice Unitarian Universalist Congregation. She has a great website, and Sharon, I want you to connect that back to your construction days here in a second. Her website is www.sharonwiley.com. Again, that's W-Y-L-I-E. And what do you call your blog?
Ministry in Steel-Toed Shoes.
Ah, there it is. I love that. How you connected your construction days and all the things that you learned in construction. And while I'm on that topic, what did you learn in construction that you use today? I know I'm throwing you a surprise question there, but how do you connect the two?
Yeah. You know, when I entered the ministry, I thought, like, well, I'm leaving all this behind. I remember the first time I said that to another minister who's was my minister at the time of a large congregation of 1,000 people, and she just looked at me. She said, oh, no, you'll need all that experience. I think, you know, anytime as a minister, I'm the head of an organization. I'm not a CEO, but I'm a spiritual leader, and there are people looking to me for support. I'm one of just a handful of paid staff. Religious community, I'm fortunate to have other people I work with. Sometimes the minister's the only paid staff. So I manage, I'm a chief of staff. I oversee four staff people. I'm coming off of vacation, as well as some support staff underneath those folks. And I work with a board. It's being part of the organization, of a nonprofit organization of 200 people and a budget of over $300,000 a year. So lots of those skills have brought with me. And professionalism is still important, even though church life can feel so different from business life. How we conduct ourselves with each other to stay in relationship, to be productive together, is important, and more of that, I brought more of that with me from my construction life than I would have imagined when I left.
I think that, again, a little bit more wisdom about when we change those paths and make a transition, we always bring our past with us, don't we? We always bring those lessons. Sometimes we bring the mistakes with us, too. I know I've experienced that, things I didn't learn before, surely they will come up again and I get to learn them again. But we, yeah. All of that experience with us, we bring that leadership. You're talking about leadership skills, and I know you had a lot of organizational skills and ability to supervise and work with teams, so that all comes into play. I just love how, you know, the benefits of getting older is wisdom, and it's bringing the past with us so that we can learn and be better and keep improving. So thanks for sharing that. So all of this talk about success and where you've been and what you've learned in your previous occupations and such, what do you share now with your congregants when they are talking with you about, be it success or making improvements in life? What kinds of things that you've learned that relate to our topic today do you share with them? What do you advise them?
Well, almost everything we've talked about is something that I end up sharing with congregants one way or another. I've even preached recently on, I forget what I named my sermon, but it was about the workplace, because so I have so many congregants for whom their work isn't meaningful, and that's a real that's a real struggle. That's a huge portion of their time. And that can be really, over the long term, it can feel debilitating to not feel joy in your work life. So I preached a sermon about finding this balance, finding other ways to contribute your gifts and skills if work isn't the place where you get to feel like you're making connections to other people. And when I talk to people one-on-one, when they come to me for advice and counsel, I work with them a lot on self-awareness and trying to, you know, we get upset by things and we can struggle even to articulate why. And so sometimes my work is to help them figure out why is something bothering them or why are they so afraid? And, you know, to help them cultivate their own self-awareness, because when we really understand what's going on with ourselves, then when we can make choices and decisions from a place of calm and groundedness, not fear and uncertainty. I'm companioning folks to making good decisions and good choices.
Yeah, great advice. Sounds like you are doing that for sure. So for people that are listening today that may not be in exactly the place along their journey they want to be yet, people that are just starting the process, what do you have to advise anybody listening to our show today? Anything besides what you've said already or an emphasis?
Yeah, well, I've talked a lot about self-awareness. And so that's what I would encourage people to cultivate. That would be my advice. I might have come to ministry earlier if I'd been more self-aware about both not just my hopes, but my gifts. I was late to see that I might have gifts of ministry, and many other people saw it before I did. So I have three tips to help cultivate self-awareness. One is to cultivate a spiritual practice, a daily spiritual practice. And if you don't like that phrase, spiritual practice, just call it a practice. A daily practice that helps you quiet your mind. To me, that's what we want to invite into our lives. When we quiet our minds, we allow knowing to come from different places. We can turn off that monkey mind and listen to our lives in a different way. So things like prayer, meditation, journaling, chanting, anything that leaves you feeling more calm and grounded at the end of the practice than when you started. And to have some discipline about doing that daily, because it's easy to let that kind of thing slide. If you can afford it, consider working for a period of time with a therapist. I think we should all have therapists the same way we have doctors and dentists and eye care professionals. It's just part of taking care of ourselves to have someone we feel comfortable working with when we need support in sorting things out, or a spiritual director. And I know most people aren't going to be familiar with that term. That's something to Google and look for a directory in your area. And then to ask other people in your lives, how do they perceive you and how do they experience you? What do they see as your strengths and weaknesses? Sometimes other people see us more clearly than we see ourselves. And, of course, you want to ask people you trust and who are supporters of you. You know, don't ask people who want to tear you down. But that can be great feedback. I've learned people report experiencing me as very grounded and calming to be around when, of course, my mind is racing and I feel just as hectic as anybody else. So, getting feedback from other people can be helpful.
So those three things, again, that you would advise our listeners, number one was create some sort of a daily practice, be it spiritual or whatever someone wants to call it, something that allows you to quiet your mind and get into a calm space. Two was to enlist the help services of a therapist to assist you with self-care or maybe a spiritual director, spiritual guide. And number three was to ask others for their constructive feedback about you because they might see something we're not seeing, correct? Those are the three, right? Self-awareness.
Yes.
Wonderful. Yep. Thank you for sharing that. Those are three things that I hope people will jot down as they're listening. And again, I want to go back to another list of three that you gave earlier, and that was the three things that make up success, that your definition of success. And that was, again, going back to self-awareness, one, two, integrity, and three, make a contribution to the world. So wonderful advice, sage wisdom. What's next for you, Sharon? What's next on your journey? Where are you going from here?
Well, I'm just coming back from vacation. I've finished my third year at my congregation. So the church year starts in September is how we think of it, sort of runs along with a school year. So I'm really starting to feel like I'm not so brand new at the job anymore. I've heard advice that it takes 3 years to settle into a new position. So I'm looking forward to continuing to build relationships with my congregants and to work with that community to help, you know, contribute to healing what's broken in our world. And more concretely, now that I'm getting settled in, I am working with a ministerial colleague to put together a 5-day silent retreat at a retreat center in Santa Barbara, and we hope to offer that next summer. So that's exciting for me to look ahead. I think this is so important, as I've talked about, cultivating spiritual practice, more silence, quiet, stillness into our lives. So to be able to offer a silent retreat to those who are interested feels like an important contribution to that work in the world.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you for sharing that. And congratulations on completing your 3 years, by the way.
Thank you.
Anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up here? Any parting words of wisdom to our listeners? Any final thoughts?
I think I caution people about the phrase "do what you love" because I think we have responsibilities. We need income, and do what you love can sometimes lead us astray. But I do also feel that anything is possible. I could not have dreamed, 8 years ago, I could not have dreamed what my life is now. It's to wake up in the morning excited to go to work, to be doing work that's so important. So maybe my advice is to dream big. Don't limit yourself. The world is limiting enough, so you don't need to limit yourself. You'll run into barriers at times and have to figure out how to do them. But so, free yourself to be creative and dream big.
I love it. Thank you for saying that. Dream big, everybody. Did you hear that? Dream big. Anything is possible. I want to thank you, Sharon, for joining me today. I know that our callers that can access this episode on the archives will enjoy hearing everything that you've talked about, and I hope we'll take copious notes about some of the things that you discussed. And anybody that would like to replay this episode over and over, it is available in the archives on the Blog Talk Radio site under the title of our program, There's a You in Success. Sharon, thank you again for joining me. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule and sharing with us things that you've learned along the way. I want to remind our callers that, as always, you can get a weekly email motivational kick, success tips, practical tools, and applications by visiting my website, wlewsberg.com. Also, check out other resources and services that I have available there, coaching and training programs. And please connect with me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Google+. Remember, there's not one more thing you need to add. You only need to uncover what's already inside, that inner success. It all starts with you, your thoughts about it, the choices you make, and the actions you take. There's a you in success in that unique, amazing, creative, the one and only. Thank you, Sharon. Thanks for being with me. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Debbie.
And until next time, everybody, choose to have a great week. Talk to you soon.